A little bit about me. Do we have that slide? My family is local. I'm from New Albany, Indiana. Grew up here in southern Indiana all my life. Moved away to play college basketball and then moved home from the University of Southern Indiana. I am 6'10", and people often say, "Wow, you're tall." I do know that, so thank you. Thank you to all you short people who are just blessed in a different way. You have a different vision of things. So this photo is a family photo of us taken in the last year or two. Myself on the left, my father there next to me, my sister Brooklyn, who's a year and a half younger than I am, is to the right of my father, my seven-year-old lovely bundle of joy sister, Chinara, is there in the white dress, or sorry, Gazelle is in there in the white dress, and then Chinara is there in the pink with my mother in the green. And so that's my family, a little bit about them. Gazelle loves volleyball, Chinara loves soccer, my mother is an incredible photographer and artist, and then my father is a phenomenal businessman. And so that's my family, just in a wraps. And that's a little bit about me. Let's pray, and then we'll dig in. God, thank you for all that you've blessed us with here at Faith Point. We're so thankful for Pastor George and his wife Jenny and what their family means to you and what they mean to our church. God, we love you, and we thank you for them. Right now, as we dig into your word and your vision for us, we pray that you would bless our time together, that these words would not be my words, but that they would be yours alone, and that, God, you would show up in only a way that you can. We love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. Amen. I love telling this story. By the way, JD, sorry you've heard this story 5 times, but I love telling the story about my freshman year of college. The theme for me that year was, God, why? It's a question I feel like I've been asking since I was 5, but for the first time, it's the time that I remember God showing up huge. Or as our president would say, huge! Sorry. After a grueling season of recruiting during the fall of 2013, with much prayer and consideration, I decided to go to the University of Southern Indiana to play basketball. I felt God calling me to USI, but testing the spirit is important to see if what we feel called to is really God's will. How do I know what God's will is for your life? I don't. I couldn't tell you because I don't know each and every one of you. But I can tell you this. There's some practical steps and tests that we can take as godly, Bible-believing Christians that will allow us to seek His will better. Here are some practical ways to test that. Number one, seek God in prayer. Prayer should not only be a defensive tool, but an offensive weapon. In my college decision, I prayed a lot, so much so that I prayed often in the shower for dozens and dozens and dozens of minutes on end. I'm sure my parents really enjoyed getting the water bill for those 3 months period of time that I spent 45 minutes to an hour in the shower every night after practice. But not only that, my coaches, family, they all played a part in this. So 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." God hears us and He wants to respond. But often I find sometimes I'm too busy talking to hear what He's saying. I think God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason, and that's to listen twice as much as we talk. So seek God in prayer. Also, seek God in wise counsel. In the college decision, as I mentioned, not only did my parents, coaches, youth leaders help in the decision, but also my Christian community. It's so important to have godly people stepping into and speaking into our lives. In life now as an adult, that godly counsel changes. It doesn't change the principle, but it changes where that wisdom comes from. Now it comes from godly leaders in my industry. It comes from godly pastors in my life. It comes from, if I'm a married person, it comes from my spouse potentially. Proverbs 8:11-12 says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell in prudence, with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to give God another reason to call me a fool. Because I do enough foolish stuff on my own. One example of this is I went sailing recently with a buddy. His name's Blaine, and Blaine and I were out and about on the lake, and our friend Dustin had brought the sailboat, and it was a little bit of a windy day. Dustin said, "It's going to be high winds, but we're going to be safe." I chose to make some goofy decisions that day. I looked like a fool about the time I was falling out of the boat. I went up, grabbed the sails. I was like, I got this. Wind turned. Boom! Where'd Connor go? Why's Connor across the lake? The wind was blowing our boat so fast that I was swimming as hard as I could across this massive lake, and there was no chance I was catching that boat. 15-mile-an-hour winds were taking that sailboat flying, so that was pretty entertaining. They came back to get me eventually. So we seek God in prayer. We seek God in wise counsel. We also seek what Scripture says about the issues we are facing. When we seek the Word of God, we are seeking the ultimate authority of the universe. When we try to play offense or defense, it doesn't matter whether we're playing offense or defense, because it's important. What's important? Having a tool, having a weapon. Because if you're in a war, as we are all in a war as believers, we need a weapon. And so our weapon is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Side note here, we've created a sheet called the Wise Biblical Decision-Making Sheet. And so after service today, we will have those available in the lobby. I'm in a new boat at USI. Now what? Which way do I sail? I had tested the Spirit, but I felt scared still. I still had a decision to make. Actually, I had a lot of decisions to make. I felt God saying, "Just trust me. Connor, just trust me." I go to USI and I meet my teammate Shane, who's a staunch agnostic, no faith or religion at all. Did not have much in common with him initially. We argued on our first day of practice, and that night I thought I had lost my witness. But God's faithful. In the dorm, I had been using these street-style evangelism tactics. That doesn't work really well when you're doing life with somebody. I returned to the dorm after practice regularly and would go. I had a friend named Steve who dropped on my doorstep for my graduation party a 6x6 box, so like a pallet jack full of ramen noodles. So I loaded these things up into my car, and it took a couple trips down to Evansville and loaded them up in my dorm. And so I'd go around and I'd hand them out to kids and just get to know them and things of that nature. But the problem was, in the midst of getting to know people, I jumped to the conclusion of, they're going to hell, I better fix this, instead of allowing God to use the relationships that I had. One night I returned from practice, and my RA was sitting at the desk named Allison, and we got to talking, and she called herself a Christian, and she was, but she said something that was not in line with a Bible-believing Christian. And I said, why do you choose to say something like that? And in that moment, she cussed me out, continuing for 6 minutes to cuss me out in more of a painful way than I've ever been cussed out on any court in any street ball competition in my life. And I've played in a lot of those. What she was really saying, though, was, Connor, all you have done is back people into a hole and tell them they live life immorally. Ouch. If that wasn't enough on my plate, failing with Shane, failing with Allison and the whole dorm, I had another dorm encounter. In November, I was entering into our residence hall, and when I was greeted by the entire residence staff. We had just won our first game, 27 points, very exciting victory over a rival. After the celebration, I thanked everyone who threw the party, and someone said, hey, Connor, there's someone looking for you. For me? I only knew a few people on campus, and I hadn't missed any calls or texts. They said, yeah, I think the person went looking down your hall for you. I laughed and thanked them and moved into the door of my hall. And as I was hitting my third step into the hall, I was welcomed, quote unquote, back to the dorm with a girl in a scandalous black dress. Pinning me up to the wall, she said, I want you to go to bed with me. In that moment, I had a decision to make. Would I choose to make the easy decision and say yes, or would I choose to make the hard decision and follow what God's will was? Thankfully, I said no and made it back to my dorm room, a little shaken, but I made it back safe. As I lay down for bed, my roommate comes in. His name was Brett, and Brett comes in and says, hey, Connor, there's two girls at the door for you. They want to talk to you. I told him to send them away, and he said, well, they're really cute. Begrudgingly, I got out of bed, and he wasn't wrong. They were cute girls. But next thing I knew, again, different girls. Next thing I knew, I was cornered in my own dorm room with the punk who was my roommate locking the door behind me, refusing to open the door unless I was going to get in bed with one or more of the girls. At this point, I had no wind in my sails. I had failed with Shane. I had failed in my dorm evangelistically, and now Satan was tempting me sexually. God, I thought you just said to trust you. Mark 4 says, even the wind and waves obey him. I figure if the wind and waves don't question God, maybe I shouldn't either. So about that time, I started changing the way I did evangelism in the dorm, and I started changing the way that I interacted with people in my world at the time. In moments of confusion and pain, we have to bank on God to pull through. We have assurance, we have hope. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion. We're all amateurs at this game of life. When I fell out of the boat, that was an amateur move. What was funny is the whole time my buddy Blaine knew how to sail, but he didn't say anything. I was like, thanks, bro, finally for telling me after we got back and I had fallen out. But I think God works in the same way. He's not going to take the sails from us. He wants us to give them to him. And he wants us to give him our sails so he can guide us, so he can direct us. I dug in for the long haul and begrudgingly began again to bank on God. Pause. I wish I would have had a better attitude. I wish I wouldn't have been begrudgingly doing all this. I would have saved myself a lot of time, and as Pastor Wasson says, recovery ministry. The following Friday, I reached out to those girls on social media and said, I'll buy you coffee if you'll just show up. I called Colton, who ran a ministry on campus, and he says, hey, what's up? And I was shaken. And I said, I need you to come sit at the table next to me and make sure that nothing crazy happens at this coffee shop. One of those girls showed up. That day, I had the chance to share the gospel with her. When we let God take control, more could happen in a year than we could have imagined in a lifetime. Fast forward to February, from September, November time frame, I had been mocked. I'd been put through a gang beating. I'd been benched. I was depressed, struggling in school, and not wanting to wake up in the morning. I had gone through the ringer. But I knew one thing. My identity lied in Christ. What is our identity in Christ? Created, saved, loved, known, and cherished, these are the things that in Christ will not perish. Accepted, even when we've messed up. Protected, even when we've not fessed up. Forgiven before we ever asked for it. Saved by a king who's not impressed by bling. This is our identity in Christ. Shane saw my hope was still there. He started asking questions. In February, Shane went to church for the first time. In March, Shane called me at 2:30 in the morning and said, I think I found God, or he found me. However you Christians say it. I don't know all the lingo. That's a fair statement. Shane, are you high? No. Shane, are you drunk? No. Shane, are you cross-blazed? No. If you don't know what that is, ask your mom. Are you sure, Shane? Connor, I'm serious. Help. That night, Shane gave his life to Christ. God continues his faithfulness as the great sailor in the storm. After about a year after I transferred home from USI to finish my degree at U of L, I heard a message by Rick Warren saying, God, show me where you are blessing and give me the strength to be obedient to follow. So I began to change the way I prayed. By the way, Shane called me in June and said, I'm discipling my whole family. Wow. The story continues. I got back, I'm here for a year, and I get a call from Donnie Rourke, who's the local regional FCA director, asking if I would consider being a huddle coach for Floyd Central's FCA program. I said, no way, my butt. Donnie said, will you send me a list of names? I said, sure. I'm a networking freak. I can do that. But there's no way I'm doing this. Before we got off the phone, he said, I just want you to know we want you. I'll only do it if this guy named Tim Stevens, who at the time I only knew as the husband or fiance of a good family friend, would do it. I knew he was going to be a local financial advisor, and he had no time. So I was in. I went to lunch with Tim the next day, and he said, yeah, I'll do it with you. Funny how God works. Again, God's faithfulness continues. Mark McKay sends me a text. By the way, Mark, Tim, and I are all now huddle coaches at Floyd Central. And God's on the move there. Mark McKay sends me a text about the position here. And I think I said the same thing to him that I said to Donnie. No way. Not a chance. And here we are. While this would not have been my plan, God, through it all, has been faithful and continues to take care of my needs. Let me encourage you guys with this. God can still take the sales, even if you haven't given them to him. I had 13 people around me die from last winter to July, averaging more than one a month. 4 died at gunpoint, 2 died under the age of 18. God, I thought you just said to just trust you. I saw Billy, whose mom died at gunpoint 3 weeks ago. And Billy said, God's been faithful through it all. And to be honest, when he said that, I thought about it too. I don't know if I've ever told more people about who Jesus is or had the opportunity to say, I have hope in any other season of life more than I did in those 6 months. God's on the move here at Faith Point too. Here's how I know. Because this week alone, we had at least 4 medical emergencies. God's going to try and do everything he can to destroy what is happening here. Or Satan's going to try and destroy everything that God is doing here at Faith Point. I'm so sorry. But we can't let him. We have to fight. Yeah, he did it again. The devil's on the move. Here's how we battle the enemy. We turn our sails over to Jesus. I'm leaving you with this, guys. We have 3 options today. Will we choose to seek God in prayer? Will we choose to seek God in wise counsel? Or will we choose to seek God in Scripture? And I would even make the argument that we've got a 4th option. We can choose to do all of those. As the music plays and as the band comes back up, I want you guys to continue to commit. Commit to continuing, I'm sorry. To writing one of these things or all 3 of these things down. And tell someone around you what you've committed to. Maybe it's all 3, but I want you to pick at least 1 to be held accountable for 1 7-day period of time. You can write it down on your phone. If you don't have your phone, we'll get some paper and pens out here in a minute. And see if for 1 week, God will not begin to steer you to be more like him. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we're so thankful that you're on the move here at Faith Point. We know you're getting ready, and you are already blowing up what Satan's trying to do here locally. And so, God, we pray for strength in the tough times. We pray for obedience in the rough times. And we know that as Philippians 1:6 says, that you're going to be faithful to complete what you've started. God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. Amen.